almost want to redo this one, John, because are we liable for eardrum damage? See,
are you liable? Do you have to sign a waiver when you go to a concert?
I don't think so, but I'm going to give you a little microphone tip, John. See, you'll notice me, as rotund as I am, I backed up away from the microphone as I started yelling, and you, you know, not being able to hold up the weight of your gigantic head, leaned forward into the microphone before you screamed. So, just as a little tidbit of microphone etiquette, you might want to lean back next time.
You think we might blow some speakers?
I hope so. But we are not liable, ladies and gentlemen. My ears are literally ringing. Because I have a headset on.
You got the headset on, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one thing. It was not unloud. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Pop Culture Problems. Today, we're talking about John screw-ups and concerts in one episode.
All right.
John, good to have you here. John, concerts. I want to talk about concerts in general because we talk about a lot of things here pop culture-wise. And people like various bands and musical groups and styles of music, etc. But concerts are a very specific niche within that. You either love live music or you hate live music. Some people primarily like the live versions of stuff. Other people don't want to hear that stuff which when they're listening to an album. But then going to a concert, what do you like about it? Do you like the mosh pit? Do you want a cushioned seat that you can sit back and relax? Do you like classical? Do you want loud? Do you want special effects? Do you want pyrotechnics? Do you just want... what are you looking for? Length of concert, everything.
Well, here's the thing. Stage presence is a huge thing for me. If I like the band... First of all, I need to like the band that I'm going to see. It's not nearly as enjoyable if it's something that I've been drugged to. If it's something that you have to like the band first of all. Second of all, they can't just stand there and sing. Like there needs to be an element of stage presence and stagecraft in the whole production. But you know, I guess if I was going to some place where I expected that, maybe I would be a little bit more forgiving of that. But for the most part, I think those are two huge things for me. Is like. I gotta like the music first and foremost, and I've gotta see a show because if I'm gonna pay money, I want to see a show.
Yeah, there are a couple musicians, especially I would say Billy Joel, Elton John, because they play piano. They're primarily singing all the time.
Yep.
However, they're active enough. Like they make it still exciting, and they have their faces are a presence in their own concerts as much as anything else. And so
yeah, I agree.
They're able to kind of keep the momentum. My biggest pet peeve at a concert is when you go to a concert, you've paid money, you show up, and then they do a lot of music that you don't care to hear. Or they don't do songs that should be there. I went to, there was a trio concert. It was 38 Special, REO Speedwagon, and Styx. It was all three of them in one concert.
I just went to that exact concert like a month or two ago.
Yeah, okay. I went like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Styx did not do Mr. Roboto.
Which I blew my mind.
That was amazing. And I'm sure there's some sort of rights or restrictions, but for me, I'm like, what? Now that was one song. I think the best concert I've ever been to, hands down, was the Billy Joel Elton John face-to-face tour. It was like 4.5 hours long.
Uh-huh.
They each did a 45-minute set alone. Or I'm sorry, 45-minute set at the beginning together. An hour and a half each on their own. And then a 45-minute set to end it. It was phenomenal. And just primarily it was all hits. There was a couple songs maybe I didn't know. But it was all hits.
Yeah.
I went subsequently to see Elton John. Just him, and he was doing for his new album. He did with this other guy. I don't remember his name. He's a big, long bearded guy,
and she
did this kind of dual album. And at one point, you know, there's this new album, so occasionally they do a new song here and there. And some people were getting up and leaving, and kind of going getting drinks and coming back.
Yeah,
they didn't want to hear those. But at one point in the concert, he's like, "Well, you know, I'm British, etc." Blah. And that was my British accent. I say I'm British, and then I don't have to do the accent. But he's like, "Oh, hello, yeah." All right, crikey. I am going to do...
It's Australian, but okay. Yeah, anyway.
What? You know, John,
sorry.
Don't you ever correct me on our show.
All right. Okay.
Okay? That's, I'll get that straight. Because if you did, we would never get through the episode because I'm wrong so often. Yeah, but he's like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and do some songs that you probably have never heard of. And they weren't from the new album. Because he said, you know, you get bored doing the same old songs all the time. And I'm like, but I'm paying you to do those
yeah,
songs.
That's
like, I am writing you a check. Like, you know, I'm paying you to sing the popular songs. And I hate that more than anything.
That's the thing I really got to appreciate. I got to say I appreciated about REO Speedwagon is the lead singer. They sang like one new song.
Yeah. Because
yeah. apparently they have a new album coming out this year or something like that. But even he prefaced singing that one song with, hey, we know that you guys bought your tickets to hear the stuff that you already know.
Yeah,
but you know we're creative people, and we have this one song that we think really speaks to the time and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they sang that, and it was like, okay, yeah, it's all right song, but like the fact that
it wasn't
they
their primary,
yeah, but the fact that they recognized that I thought really important. The times that I kind of like feel sorry, I went to a John Mellencamp concert like the summer before my freshman year of college. Down in Kansas City, I'm a huge John Mellencamp fan. I think he like sings to like the quintessential Midwestern experience, like with songs like Jack and Diane, Small Town, mm-hmm. things like that. Yep. And big fan. And so we get to this concert, and he sings like a bunch of his like greatest hits. And he had a new album out, and he said, "Now you guys want to hear another old one, or you want to hear something off my new album?
Old one."
He's like, "Old one, old one," and. So he played an old one, but it's like that's
don't
gotta
ask.
Be it's gotta be kind of discouraging when you reach that point of fame where like you've got like that back catalog and that's what people want to hear. And being able to like just jam through that like nostalgia.
Yeah.
Like the fact that like groups like the Rolling Stones and Fleetwood Mac have been like releasing albums and albums and albums throughout the years and have been able to like still remain like relevant and successful. It's pretty amazing when you think about it, the longevity of some of these bands. But yeah, when you go to a concert, you don't want to hear the new stuff. You want to hear the stuff you've already heard and you want to hear it live.
Yeah, well, I think there's a time and place. And this is a really, it's an on-topic example, but a totally weird example. Eddie Izzard, which is a British comedian.
Yep.
Yeah, he got into a lot of trouble in Europe because people were upset that he was repeating content from one show to the next. And he said, you know, what happens is he'll start a new tour and he'll start working on content and he goes along and he keeps working and refining it. And then when he gets to the end of the tour, like the big Madison Square Garden, the O2 Center, whatever, you know, arena. Where they're filming the DVD.
Yeah.
It's all new.
Yeah.
But he's workshopped it over the time. And he said, I have the feeling that people come back to hear the greatest hits. You know? And so he's like, I do some of my greatest hits of jokes. And then I move into some of the new content to workshop. And then by the end, that's all the new stuff that then becomes the content people want to hear again.
Yeah.
And just rinse and repeat. And he got a lot of backlash. And I know that that's comedy versus the music. But it's kind of the same...
Well,
kind of the same thing.
Absolutely. But like the thing is Eddie Izzard. If you're hearing some of his older stuff, you're kind of liking that.
Oh yeah. I would love that.
I went to Jim Gaffigan a couple months ago and he like had all new material I hadn't heard, and then he came out for an encore, did the Hot Pocket routine.
It was like the greatest hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, "Yeah, he's doing that one."
Yeah.
And that's a cool thing. I'm okay if you advertise things in a certain way. I think I've mentioned this before. I think that there are few people in the entertainment industry as a whole, much less music, that I respect more than Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah. We've talked about this before,
Love him. Yeah. Think he's great. He's got a new tour.
Okay.
Have you heard about this?
No.
I'm going to tell you the
title.
He's
one guy, though, that I'd want to hear the new stuff.
Yeah. Well, actually, here's the title of his new tour. Weird Al Yankovic, the ridiculously self-indulgent, ill-advised vanity tour. It is just a concert of his original work. No parodies whatsoever.
Wow.
Just his original songs. And he advertised it, making fun of itself, that this is probably not going to be a moneymaker.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the one that people are writing home about, but he wants to do it artistically.
Yeah.
He's branded it to say, look, this is for me and my real hardcore fans. I just want to showcase my original work. I would go to that. And I would know what I'm getting into.
Yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't be mad that he's not doing Amish Paradise or All About the Pendiums. Or, you know, I couldn't get upset by that because he's told me. So I think that's a very acceptable and noble way to do some of the things artistically That you want to do. Nobody's going to leave that theater unless it would be hard to read the title of that and not be like, what the hell is this? You know what I mean?
Like, now, are there like any talents out there that... like you think I want to like outside of Weird Al that you would like eat up anything new from them? Cause I do think that there are like bands throughout history that kind of, they do break through that. Like I think if there was new Beatles music, people would sit down and listen to that.
My problem, this is a comment on concerts in general, and it answers your question. I really don't like hearing new stuff at concerts.
Okay.
One of the reasons is primarily, by and large, concert audio sucks to actually hear the words of a song. You hear rough melodies in between screaming and getting crap spilled on you.
That's a good point, yeah.
That it's really hard to take it in. So there's certain songs that you want to listen to the words of the song. You want to listen to what they're saying. And it just becomes one of those... you know, Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza. I mean, most people think that's Tiny Dancer, like, because you mishear lyrics. And I think that with new music in a concert setting, it doesn't do it justice. And so I would rather not hear any new song until I've already heard it a couple times.
I have a friend that actually thinks that there's a Bad Moon on the Rise. Actually, the lyrics to that song were, there's a bathroom on the right.
On the right, yep. Sarah thinks that. She is, there's a bathroom on the right. Like, and if you heard that at a concert, you might like the tune, but you're just not getting the full experience.
You're like standing there why is he telling us where the bathrooms are? Do you want us to leave during the song?
So,
is there going to be a line? Is there a break after this?
I like listening to music prior to shows, even like Broadway shows. I love seeing
musicals. Sure, yeah.
I listened to the album a couple times before, and it kind of in a way ruins surprise a little bit in some of that. Like for that, it's storytelling. But you're just able to get so much more out of it because you know what is happening. You've heard the actual words, not just the melody. So, yeah. So, for me, I prefer no new songs just because I might not know what the hell it is, and it might not be my favorite. I might miss out on learning or hearing and liking a really good song because I'm like, oh, yeah, I heard it at the concert. I don't know what the hell that was. You know, and I never listened to it again.
Yeah,
and so, I just think that that's disingenuous to the artist's work. So, they should be cautious of that, too.
So, like... Best concerts you've ever been to?
Coincidentally, I mentioned the Elton John, Billy Joel. It was so long. It was 95% hits. They did solo together. It was just really cool.
Do you have a comfortable seat for that one?
I was standing the whole time.
Really? Wow.
4.5 hours, fat, standing. I was just like a... pig wallowing in his own feces. Like,
making
it was just
a
great.
Better door than a window.
It was just great. I loved it the whole time. It was just a great concert. The first concert I ever saw. I haven't been to
a... Now, before we move on there, did you like sing along to like all the songs and stuff?
I was all on board with that. And I'm not much of a... I don't like group singing and some of those types of things. So I don't usually get into that.
But you were moved in that moment.
Concert.
Did you put your arms around the people next to you?
Yeah, just no.
And rock back and forth.
I'm pretty certain I had a friend that went to that concert. And he was in a different section, and he sends me a text message, and he's like, "The guy next to me just soiled his pants." And I'm like, "How does one soil their pants at a Billy Joel Elton John concert? Like, how rowdy does that concert get?" My first concert, and also one of my favorites, because I have not been to a lot of concerts, was Weird Al. It was the first concert I ever saw. And I pictured in my mind, kind of what you were saying you wouldn't like, is that stage presence. I pictured Weird Al sitting on a stool, a single microphone, playing the accordion. That's what I thought it was going to be. And it exploded into this like light show. He had costume changes.
And
you've
told me about this, and like I want to see him in concert now just because of this.
It was absolutely incredible. It was just nuts. Like, he went from one song to a full fat suit, complete with like prosthetic, like not real prosthetic, it was like a mask or something, but just full fat outfit for the Michael Jackson album in like 15 seconds. It was like he came back out, and I'm like, how did he get into that? Like, it's just nuts. And I think that that stage presence that you talked about, it was clear there, and it was something totally surprising because I'd never been to a concert. I'm thinking Weird Al, okay, he's not the Rolling Stones, he's not the Beatles. It's just going to be
low
production
performer.
Value.
Yeah.
It's going to be low production value. And yeah, boy, was I pleasantly surprised. That was real good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you have a favorite one?
You know, I've seen Garth Brooks twice. Once when I was probably like a seventh grader. And then I saw him again like a year or two ago. Garth Brooks is a great performer in concert. Probably the best performance I've ever seen, though, is Justin Timberlake.
Okay.
I mean, and the thing is, Justin Timberlake, everybody knows him. Like, he got his big start on the Mickey Mouse Club, then NSYNC, and he's become like a huge solo performer now. But like his that concert was awesome from start to finish. It was just phenomenal. And he even played some new stuff, and now it's some of his better stuff, like some of his like more well known stuff, because this was like 4 or 5 years ago, but. I mean, like, he did it in such a way that, like, it flowed in and out of the music. The music flowed in and out so well that you didn't even realize until you're about halfway through the song before you realized you hadn't heard this before.
Yeah.
And that's, it was, like, such an experience that you were just, like, so into it that you didn't even realize, I don't know what song this is.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I've heard, and I've never seen her, but I heard that Pink puts on a really good concert.
I got Pink tickets for Jess.
Really?
For that was her birthday gift this year. She's pretty excited because she is like a super physical.
Very
acrobatic. Yeah.
It's almost like Cirque du Soleil meets concert.
Yeah.
So I heard she's.
So I'm
really
pretty
good.
Excited to go to that one. Yeah.
Mm.
Well,
and,
I'll have to give you a review
in
a year because I bought the tickets a year ahead of time because I'm that type of person.
You didn't invite me.
I didn't. I'm sorry.
And we've known each other longer than
we have.
You and your
yes.
wife have known each other. And you didn't even
I didn't know you were
care
Pink
about
fan.
Our anniversary.
I didn't know you were a Pink fan.
I'm a John Olderman fan.
I wonder if I could. Could we search back and kind of somehow figure out which night at the Queen City Club that we met?
I wonder what they do with their
sing
VHS
karaoke.
Archive.
Yeah, I wonder.
People are listening. Like, what are they talking about? John and I met at karaoke. It's a whole thing. We'll get into it some other
time. A concert in its own right.
Yeah, it is.
Every week.
John, do you have a concert of an artist living or deceased or a band living or deceased that you would just really love to see?
I would have loved to have seen Michael Jackson in his prime.
Okay, yeah.
That would and that I think that would have been phenomenal.
Yeah, he put on, I think, really, like, I love tech.
Yeah.
When I go to a theater performance, when I go to Cirque du Soleil, when I go to anything, I just love the tech. I want the pyrotechnics. I want stages to move. I want, and from everything from his Thriller costumes to Smooth Criminal, the lean effect,
some
of those things. I think there was just a lot of tech involved with those shows. I heard, this was back in the day, like documentaries, so he would lose like 7 pounds.
Yeah, I would
like
be surprised.
Show.
Yeah, I wouldn't be
like,
surprised.
I mean, I can't imagine like expending that much energy to just lose that much weight.
I've heard Bruno Mars is like the closest to. Like his kinetic energy nowadays. Like I've heard Bruno Mars's concerts are awesome too. I haven't seen him yet though.
Yeah, see, I would put Michael Jackson on my list. I didn't consider that. I had two, one living, one not. Living, I think for me, part of the problem with concerts is that I don't think I know enough of any one artist's songs to want to sit through 2 hours of them.
Uh-huh.
You know, I know one or two or three songs, but then I'm just like, what am I going to do the other hour and 45 minutes? I think I know enough Aerosmith songs that I would be able to sit through one of their performances.
Okay.
And so living-wise, I think I could go to that. Deceased, Queen.
Absolutely.
Queen would just be delicious.
I think about Queen. I think another deceased one. I'd love to go to a David Bowie concert.
Oh, okay.
I'd love to go to a Prince concert.
See, I don't think I know enough of either David Bowie or Prince. I think you'd be shocked.
You know, I don't know. David Bowie. Like, I mean, he said so many. I think you are pretty familiar with almost his like his most popular of his catalog. Chuck. Probably, because it's been like soundtracks and movies and stuff, you'd be familiar enough with it that you'd enjoy it. One band living that I'd love to see in concert is Weezer.
Weezer?
Yeah, I love Weezer. I love Weezer.
I don't know that I know any Weezer
song. I love
song.
Weezer. that Buddy Holly song. They sang the Beverly Hills song that was big like 10 years ago.
Oh, Beverly Hills. Yeah, yeah. Clean the spots in between.
Sure.
It's Beverly Hills.
Them and then... I think Outkast, back when they were big, would have been cool to see in concert. The Killers is another band I'd love to see in concert.
I could see The Offspring, because The Offspring was the first CD I ever bought.
Really?
Pretty Fly for a White Guy, that album. Yeah. So I could, if they didn't do anything new and they just did that album, I could see them. Like Gwen Stefani, No Doubt. Like,
No Doubt.
I can remember the album because, like, my sister bought it, or they listened to it all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I could see something like that.
A concert, like, if we're talking about hypothetical concerts that we'd love to see, why don't we just have a concert that is the various one-hit wonder bands of the early 2000s performing their one song, like Sixpence, None the Richer, Kiss Me.
Kiss Me. Kiss Me. I think you would get. I'd say that you'd get bored.
Sugar Ray.
I'd say Uncle Cracker. Get bored doing that. But I just actually went. I just got back from Vegas and I saw a show that's a variety show. And each of the artists, except for like the hosts, literally do like a 1-2-3 minute act.
Yep.
And I'm like, you're on 2 to 3 minutes once a night. 6 days a week. Like, it seems like you would just get bored out of your mind. Like, okay, gotta do my 3 minutes.
How sweet of a gig would that be, though?
Well, if they get paid enough to sustain them.
Yeah, if you're getting paid enough to, like, live in Vegas, that'd be a pretty sweet gig.
Yeah, that would be.
Like, let's say, like, you're getting paid $50,000 to $100,000. That's enough.
Yeah. That's true.
For
that's
3 minutes good. Of work every night a week. Obviously, these are professionals, though, and they must hone their craft, and I bet they spend a lot of time doing so.
That is probably true. Speaking of honing our craft, memory is not part of my craft, because I was going to say something, and then it just went...
It's probably when I went on my spiel about David Bowie, and then I listed off a bunch of different bands that I'd love to see that are existing.
Probably. Anyway, I think there's a lot... Oh, I don't remember what it was. I think one kind of... And this is... Again, I feel like sometimes I stray off topic here, but I think a really cool way to see a concert edge is some of the new theater type things that they're doing. Jersey Boys, you want to see Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, that's the best way to see it. And also, in some ways, it's almost more energetic and it's just more upbeat than some of the other versions.
If you saw Frankie Valli perform that before he died, it would not be as enjoyable as probably Jersey Boys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Michael Jackson, there's a Cirque du Soleil performance in Vegas called Michael Jackson 1.
Okay.
And I've seen that, and it's phenomenal. They do all of his hits, and there's actually one song that they have a holographic projection of him on stage with backup dancers performing.
Wow. Yeah.
So it actually kind of, it's resemblance of him being in concert and just performing. And it's really cool. So, like, I think some of those things are really cool at paying homage to some of the artists and giving the next best thing. You know, people have finite lifespans, so they're going to die eventually. So to be able to have them live on entertainment-wise, I think is just really cool.
Kind of to bring our relationship full circle here from that first night of karaoke.
Oh, boy.
To this podcast episode is, how do you feel about tribute bands?
I have no problem with tribute bands.
Would you buy a ticket to see a tribute band in concert?
Very cheap. Very cheap if there was nothing else going on. I have a very high standard on live entertainment. And so for me, not only is it about the show and production value, but the second thing is about the story. So if I said, John, John, I found a $100 bill, or I say, John, John, I found a fake $100 bill, you're like, what?
The fake $100 bill is more interesting.
No.
Yes, it is. No, absolutely. Because I want to know where you found it, how you found it, how did you know that it was a fake? How did you know it was fake? Did you try to buy something with it?
I would be fine with the tribute band if it's something I really like, but I'm not going to pay a lot of money for it. I mean, $20-$30.
I don't know. I think that, well, yeah, sure. I agree with that. Like, I mean, there's probably a high level for me. It might be a little higher than that, but I mean, yeah, there is a top level of what I'm willing to pay for a tribute band. But I think if it's a good tribute band and they do a good job, if they get a good rep, I'd probably be a little bit more willing. I actually had a high school teacher who had a Kiss tribute band, and they did the makeup and everything.
Yeah, OG.
Guess what they were called?
What?
Smooch.
Wow. Edge. Wow. How much is the most that you have, and how much is the most that you would pay for a ticket?
You know, it depends.
What goes along with that?
I think it would. I would actually spend like buy like a VIP, like the VIP tickets where you're getting like in the pit down around.
Okay, VIP get in the pit or VIP like meet and greet.
Maybe VIP meet and greet. I'm not really into like the meet and greet thing like to me like those guys are they're human beings and they have to make money with the meet and greets and stuff, but like they probably don't want a bunch of sycophants like hanging all over them. Maybe they do. That's why they got into it. But
yeah, but no meet and greet, just VIP like best seats, like front row center. Let's say whatever your best seat is. How much would you
pay? I don't know. Maybe like. For a couple hours. See, I'm like a real like economy guy, like where it's like I want to make sure I get like a good utility out of the money that I spend. Maybe $250 is the most I'd spend.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, kind of.
I think that's a fair amount because me and my wife, that'd be $500, and we wouldn't be able to feed our child for like a couple weeks. But
see, I paid I think somewhere upwards of $200 for a ticket. And
I would have to really, really like the performer, though.
Well, see, I went to Vegas with my mom for her 50th birthday, and we went to see Cher.
Okay.
And I think it was $180 plus tax live entertainment fee, so it was probably about $200 total. And they were not, like, even front orchestra.
Yeah.
They were just, like... at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace, I mean, the front row tickets, you could pay $5,000. Like, it's like just dropping $2,500, $3,000. And that's not even meet and greet. It's just like, and so some of those tickets are a lot. So that was one that, like, you know, for her, for that experience.
If I could turn back time.
I'll say this, Cher puts on a really good show.
It all to you.
I mean, she, she puts on a good show. She came from like the rafters in the back balcony on a wire floating down in this like cage unit.
What was she singing when she was doing that?
I don't remember, but when she got at the bottom, one thing about her concert that I was surprised with is she's really self-aware, and she's like, well, every night they put me in the cage of death and they kick me and I just pray that I'm not going to die before I get to the bottom. And then she talked about how, like, a week previous she had tripped on stage and nearly face planted. And she was, like, very, like, personable. And
affable, yeah.
And so I thought that was fun. She did have these acrobatic guys, like, on ropes on either side of the stage, like, swinging and stuff. I was convinced they were holding up her face. I thought they're attached to her forehead and they're just holding on to dear life. Because she is like a billion years old.
Vegas is going to Vegas.
She is very, very athletic and very... Yeah. The concert was very active.
She's in good shape.
Oh, costume changes every 5 seconds. It was nuts. So
if we put in 1/100th of the effort that she puts in, we wouldn't be grossly obese.
That is true. Yeah. I think most I would pay for a ticket. I think, like, for me, I don't do as many concerts, so I'm more like Broadway and stuff like that. But... Edge for, you know, I think $300 to $400 for like a VIP experience. Like, there's a Cirque du Soleil show in Vegas, and I think it's like $350, and you get a backstage tour, like in the depths, looking at the aquarium, meeting a cast member, looking at the costumes and makeup unit. Like, it's just it would take an hour. It gives you an hour, extra hour onto the show that you would otherwise not
see,
have.
See, if I'm going to pay like close to $500, they better be putting me in a costume and giving me a line to shout.
Just a one line. But, like, meet and greets for a concert, it's literally like, hi, snap, picture, done.
Yeah.
Like, that's not worth it, you know?
This isn't a concert, but my brother, he worked at the Cabela's corporate office back like 10, 15 years ago. And they had Bo Jackson, you know, the Bono. Everybody knows who Bo Jackson is. And he's such a big cultural figure for, like, people our age. Like, commercials were everywhere when we were growing up. But he won a opportunity because apparently Bo Jackson's a big Cabela shopper. He came to the corporate picnic. And he won an opportunity to take a picture with him. Mm-hmm. And it was him and a buddy. He got to, like, invite some of his friends. And so Jacob invited, like, a bunch of his buddies that were, like, football or baseball fans or whatever. And they take this picture. And then he's like, okay, get the hell out of here. I want to talk to these ladies.
Wow. Yeah, goodbye. Have a nice life.
And you know, that's the thing is, like, guys like you and I, the rock stars, like, the celebrities, they have no interest in, like, hanging out, getting to know us. They want to talk to the attractive ladies.
Yeah, well, geez, you know, I'm attractive too.
That's why they got into it in the first place.
That's why I go to meet female girls. Concerts, because, you know, Pink, Britney Spears, all these artists are always like, hey, stick around, guys. We want to talk to you.
Stick around, hang out with us.
That's just all they want.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been great having you. Good night, Pop Culture Nation! We'll see you next time!
Woo!
You did it.